yeah. Last weekend, I looked so forward to getting out and mucking around the yard, but then it got kind of cloudy, cool, and windy. But this weekend, much warmer if you're going to a garden center or looking to get the bedding plants. Maybe get digging around the garden. Looks quite promising compared to last weekend. Joining me now, the host of Garden Talk from Dutch Growers, Rick Van Dyvendyke. This looks like a weekend to get growing, right, buddy?
Yeah, it was a little bit slower in the garden center this week. It was still pretty busy, people grabbing things, but it was, it wasn't the usual craziness. So I think this weekend is going to be, like, really crazy. So people are going to be wanting to put their gardens in. Finally, maybe it looks like Sunday, maybe the day we can start to really, you know, not worrying about those cucumbers and tomatoes and peppers and begonias and those, impatiens that might have been too cold to put out, you know, and some of those tropical plants you put in some of the planters. But it looks like after Saturday, we're good to go.
Awesome. And there's, is everything still available or is anything sold out yet?
Most things are still available, but they're now, some of the hot peppers are hard to get and also potatoes.
Potatoes?
Everybody's out of potatoes. So that's a Why? Tough one. Sold out. Everybody's been putting in gardens like crazy right now. So, and onion sets are a tough one to get as well. So, and garlic, there's only a few garlics out there now. So, but you know, but there's still lots of seeds out there like carrots and beans and peas and those kind of things. There's lots of that out there available.
Well, without potatoes, I'm at a loss. Perhaps I'll be raiding your garden later this summer when you don't even know it. What about creepy crawlies, my friend? Those aphids and stuff like that are starting to come to the top, aren't they?
Yeah, we're seeing little baggies come in and people calling us, what's this kind of thing happening? And so we're seeing even pictures coming in of sawflies, those little larvas coming on that are eating on the pine trees. And we're seeing also tent caterpillars as well. So those caterpillars, they're easy to take care of with a product called BTK. It's biological, doesn't hurt bees or people or anything like that. It just goes after caterpillars. So that's really good to use that called BTK. Other things that are happening, Greg, is out there is we're getting lots of calls about the lilies are coming up and they're getting holes in them already. And so the lily beetles are out. So you got to watch the bottom side of the leaves. You'll start seeing the little beetles on there and the little rows of orange eggs. And those you can just take a lint roller or just take your fingernail and pick them off the eggs. And that's the best way. Or you can use an insecticidal soap or a pyrethrin to get them. And also aphids, same thing. Just use a dish soap or Endol, an insecticidal soap with canola oil in it, and that takes care of the aphids really good because, Greg, aphids are born pregnant, okay? And they give birth to them. And when they give birth to them this time of the year, they're actually pregnant when they're born. So you can imagine how quick the generations happen. So you want to get on top of that before your leaves start all curling up because they suck all the juices right out of the leaves. So scout for those and watch for those, and they're easy to take care of with just even some dish soap or something like that.
Born pregnant. Have you ever assisted an aphid in its delivery, Rick? The things you tell me. Oh, my goodness. Hey, I've brought this up in years past, and I've actually got one now, too. You know, those big towering poplars. There's some sort of disease that attacks them. You see a lot of them look dead right now. There's nothing you can do about that, right? They got to come down.
Yeah. It's a poplar borer, and tower poplars are bad for that, and so do the Swedish aspen can get those as well. What it is it's an insect that a beetle that comes out of the ground, puts its egg on the stem of the trees, usually about 6 feet up or so, sometimes near the top, and then once the egg hatches, they drill into the bark, the larva, and then they mine the inside of the tree and then cut all the sap off to the top. You'll see the holes shaped like a D. And like about the size of a ballpoint pen head, and that's the entry holes. And then you'll sometimes see sawdust around the base. So watch for that. You can use a pyrethrin. There's a little straw in them, like a WD-40 can. You can spray it into them, but they're really hard to get. And basically,
do they jump tree to tree or
they fly? Actually,
yeah,
they could fly. The adult can fly, so they do go from tree to tree. So if you do have it really bad, the best to do is cut them down because if you leave those trees stand up dead, you're just leaving a nest area for all your neighbors.
Yeah, yeah. I see it happening in my neighborhood. All right, good to know, Rick. Thank you so much. Garden Talk, 2 hours. We'll hear you Sunday morning at 9, right?
It's going to be fun.
Had a lot of people complaining, not only about property taxes, but those working downtown, coming downtown, the frustrations with construction. It's inevitable, right, in this climate, limited time to work on everything. But because of 11th Avenue and Dewdney, oh, man, I've heard a half hour, 45 minutes longer to get home just out of downtown. It's a standstill. But we got reaction from Mayor Chad Buczynski. He said the city is going to consider all the feedback about how emergency services are impacted. As for the frustration, he understands, but hang in there.
Once we get that done, then, you know, when we open things up, it's going to be for the better. So patience is what I ask for and what I hope we can get through. And when we get to the end, there's going to be something really nice to show for it.
And in other words, I feel for you. But hang in there till fall when it's all done. But yeah, they had spoke of working longer hours, around the clock a little more. It's not necessarily easy to work really late or overnight, apparently, because of noise bylaws and those living nearby. But I know I was told by some shop owners on Dewdney that they had noticed an increase in workers and that they seem to be working a little longer in that area there, too. But also this morning, some of you curious about what's going on with our exhibition here. And we were, too, because last week the Saskatoon X announced their lineup and started hyping it up. We haven't heard anything from the Real District. So when we reached out, they emailed a statement saying entertainment lineup is coming soon. We've also discovered that the Midway, North American Midway, that used to be Conklin shows long ago, some of you remember that, they didn't renew their contract with Queen City X. They're going to Saskatoon. That's one of the biggest midway operators in the United States who has been doing Canadian provinces as well, too, like ours. And, man, they're not coming now. And I was thinking, okay, so what do we got here? There's Canada's West Coast Amusements out of that's been doing, like, parking lot, you know, malls and that over the years. And the Hometown Fair in Moose Jaw, which is coming up in June. But they're busy during our fair, so I don't see them doing it when you look at their calendar online. But I don't know. I'm very curious what's going on. Hope to get some reaction from the Real District next week for you. I'll try and make a few calls and see if they can kind of help explain what's going on here. I'm very curious about this. As for getting the acts in line, that's a tough one. When you're booking acts, whether they be Canadian, generally that's where you go because of the Canadian dollar exchange. And there's not a lot of big artists out there. And the ones that the fairs look for are in that 75,000 to 150,000 US range of the likes of Ludacris, Flo Rida, Jason Derulo, we've had in the past. It's kind of what they command, and it's probably not what they're looking at right now. We're on a mission. And should you choose to join me and accept this mission, it's to find out whether or not Tom Cruise is worth the trip to the theater this weekend.
I need you to trust me one last time.
Mission Impossible is back. Resident movie critic Brett Buster saw it last night, joins me now for a spoiler-free review this morning. Right? Spoiler free.
Absolutely.
Okay. So where'd you see it? Did you go to the IMAX? Did you go to the Landmark? Where were you?
I went to the Landmark. I was planning on going to see it again in the IMAX, but now that I've seen it, I have changed my plans.
Now, why is that? You didn't like it?
It's fine. And that's incredibly disappointing for a Mission Impossible franchise. I think this is the greatest action franchise around, and Tom Cruise, they've just kept, you know, surpassing. I found this incredibly overlong, a slog to get through, and just lackluster, especially if it truly is supposed to be the final Mission Impossible. And there are indications in the movie that it is. But you know what it reminded me of, Greg, is when they tried this with Spectre, the Bond film, and right. Then no one liked it. And they went, okay, let's do one more. And then they did No Time to Die. So I don't think this is the end because they can't end the franchise here.
Cruise was asked, is this the last one?
Don't want to ruin anything for any audience. This is a culmination of the last 30 years of making Mission Impossible in this story, but I'm not going to ruin anything. You're going to have to go see it.
So he's saying nothing. That is
definitive. You're telling me there's a chance.
I heard this movie really looks back. If you really love the franchise, there's a few, seeds thrown in for throwbacks. Is that right?
Yeah, but unfortunately, that's the worst part of the movie. The first hour of this movie is basically just navel-gazing, looking back on the franchise, like, remember this? And it's just an extended clip show of the greatest hits of the franchise. And if you just recently rewatched any of them, and especially Dead Reckoning, you feel like an idiot, like you wasted your time because they just hold your hand. They show you all these references. Every time they mention anything from the franchise, they have to put up a clip show. I felt like they didn't trust the audience. This thing was like focus group to hell.
It's probably why it's too long.
It's so long, Greg. Like once the second half kicks in, you get the submarine scene, you get the awesome biplane sequence. That's fantastic. When Cruise is doing the action stuff, it's awesome. But they overcooked this thing, and it's honestly near the bottom of the list of the franchise for me.
Well, I got to tell you this. I don't think it's going to be number one movie at the box office this weekend anyhow, because Lilo and Stitch is, and it's a Memorial Day long weekend stateside. So families go together to the movie. So I still think Lilo and Stitch is going to be the biggie. That live CGI mix from Disney. You're not going to go with that?
No.
What kind of a movie critic are you?
One with a brain who doesn't need to keep going to these remakes.
Hey, it's summer blockbuster season. Next weekend, Karate Kid fans get Karate Kid's Legends. I can't believe it, but I guess Cobra Kai is the reason we're getting this, right?
Yeah, we saw the trailer for that last night, and Ralph Macchio's back, and Jackie Chan.
June brings John Wick universe back with Ballerina. That looks kind of cool, along with a live-action remake of How to Train Your Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the horror sequel 28 Days Later in June.
28 years later.
28 years, yes, that's right. Brad Pitt's racing drama F1.
That's probably like big time. I cannot wait for F1.
That's going to be at the Kramer IMAX, I was told. And Megan 2.0. They're all coming out in June. Of all of those, you can only pick one.
It's F1 for sure.
Yeah. I actually am kind of curious about Megan 2.0.
I'm not.
It looks pretty funny. July is a big... Jurassic World Rebirth. They just put out a new trailer to that one
awesome.
A few days ago. It does, doesn't it?
I got my tickets for that.
Okay, so July also brings us James Gunn's Superman, along with a remake of I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new animated Smurfs adventure, Marvel's Fantastic Four, a couple comedies. Oh, Naked Gun reboot? I want to see that.
That trailer was hilarious. That's the first week of August, but I love Liam Neeson as a deadpan comedian.
And the long-awaited sequel, I know my girls will be happy to hear this, Freakier Friday is going to be coming out with both Jamie Lee Curtis and what's her name? The redhead?
Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, yeah. That would be curious too. So of those movies, anything you're looking forward to?
I mean, Jurassic World Rebirth, I think that latest trailer really, really solidified the funness of this movie.
It looks scary too.
It looks freaky. That part with the Mosasaur, yeah. And I mean, obviously, I got to stick on the Marvel train, Fantastic Four, but I think Ballerina might be the action movie of the summer.
Okay, Brett Buster, thank you so much for your time. Couple weeks from now, we'll be roaming from pavilion to pavilion for Mosaic, a cultural event that's a classic here in our city. And if you want a family pack, I can help you out here right now to save you a few bucks as a family to enjoy with your passports on us. 1-877-300-7275. Text me your first and last name. 1-877-300-7275. Frank, my producer, will give everyone a equal shot of this. He's going to count about the 12th text. So you got time. Everyone's doing it at the same time. Go ahead. 12th text randomly will be chosen to win. We'll direct message you there. There's a ton going on this weekend in town here. The AAA Subaru Hockey Classic is drawing some out-of-towners over at the Real District. Lots of athletes and their families here. Welcome to the city. Don't forget tomorrow morning at the Real District, Confederation Park, an outdoor market at 9. And tomorrow, I hope to meet you in person in front of the ledge. Registration starts at noon. The walk at 1 for Alzheimer's, our walk that is going to raise money and stay right here within Saskatchewan too. So if you want to walk in the memory of someone, or you're going through it currently with a loved one, family member, hope to see you there tomorrow at the Alzheimer's walk, again in front of the ledge. You'll hear the music. You'll see us there. Registration starts at noon. Walk at 1. Shout out to the town of Momart there. The 22nd annual pierogi run is on tomorrow morning. Wish I could make it this year. Can't. Little tight on time to do the Alzheimer's walk as well, but I hope it goes well for you. And don't forget, too, the Green Zone is here tomorrow at noon because the Riders are in Winnipeg against the Bombers in preseason play, 2:30 our time. And yesterday, Coach Mace said it got a little crazy. Players were kicked off the field. Physicality was up, and it got a little rough after the whistle. He made everyone run sprints. So they're ready, I guess, to go wild, and maybe it'll be a penalty-filled affair tomorrow, but we'll certainly be all over that for you, too. Now, the Cathedral Village Arts Festival, largely on 13th Avenue, as you heard here earlier this week from festival organizer Don Young, bands each night, sound extremely interesting. Starting with tonight's lineup, Donnie told me.
Everybody knows the big tent and the Holy Rosary green space. We have a Mexican mariachi rock band. After them, we have a Ukrainian rock band. And then closing out the night, we have everybody's favorite, the Andino Sons.
Oh, they're awesome.
A lot of your listeners will know. And so that's Friday night in the tent. But we also have the Block Rock going on between the Mercury and the Community Center. We have about half a dozen bands playing 30-minute set. It's packed. Like, people just flip back and forward between the Mercury and the CNC.
And then tomorrow?
So the street fair. This year we have about 100 more vendors than we had last year. We're having almost 400 vendors on 13th. We got people coming in from BC and Winnipeg and Edmonton, and about 30 vendors coming down from Saskatoon. If the weather's good, it'll be a real great shopping day. At the same time, in the green space in behind Holy Rosary, we're having kind of a kids' carnival, and we call it Funville. Saturday night, we have everybody's favorite, the Library Voices. I'm told they were rock gods back in the 90s. The Library Voices are playing the tent on Saturday night, and Megan Nash is playing as well, and she's kind of our big headliner on the Saturday night.
She's awesome, too, from Moose Jaw. All right, almost 50,000 attended last year, and the weather's going to be great this year, so take some bug spray. I heard the mosquitoes were out there last night in the green spaces, and enjoy the Cathedral Village Arts Festival.